I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
No Sean, no Rich. It is Paul Gallant and Clint Sterner, the Baytown Badass, and a former NFL quarterback. So the Houston Texans have needs on the offensive line. They have needs at the cornerback group, and they will not be able to get Jason Verrett, who was supposed to meet with the Houston Texans, but he decided to sign a one-year, $3.6 million contract with the San Francisco 49ers. So another name off the list of available cornerbacks for the Texans who do need some depth at that position, even if they did bring in one, Ronald Darby from the Denver Broncos. Okay, so offensive line, cornerback, everyone knows that they need help at that position. But I think backup quarterback is an interesting one, too, for the Houston Texans. And I have been looking around at options available for them, and I know that my Mad Radio co-host, 6 to 10 Sports Radio, 610, Mike Meltzer, has been big on the Tyrod Taylor train. Well, Tyrod Taylor goes to the Los Angeles Chargers on a two-year deal. That deal was made official yesterday. That guy seems like the exact perfect person to have as a backup quarterback specifically for the Texans because he's got a little bit of mobility. And on top of that, he's been through this before. He's been a starter. He's been a backup. Should Deshaun Watson get hurt, he steps in and the Texans probably take a big step back in terms of offensive firepower. But at the very least, they do not go back to the Stone Age.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you look at Tyrod Taylor, he checks every box that you would want in a backup quarterback specifically for the Texans. I mean, he's a high completion percentage guy. He's a low interception guy. He's a guy that is very, very experienced. He's a journeyman, has no problem adapting to locker rooms and different faces in the huddle. I was under the impression throughout this entire process that he was wanting to start. He was wanting to be a starter, which I guess everybody wants to start. He was reluctant to accept a backup role. And then on top of that, is he reluctant to accept backup money? And so I was under the impression the entire time that he would end up somewhere like Miami if the Bridgewater deal didn't work out, but he wanted to be a starter somewhere. And so you wake up and you see where Taylor has signed a two-year $11 million contract with L.A. to back up Phillip Rivers. You go, how did that happen without the Texans even being in play?
You're right. And we keep on saying this. We've been saying this a lot over the last couple of days. Tevin Coleman, 2 years, $10 million. Today we're saying it. Jason Verrett, man, you couldn't even get him to come here, even if he is a California guy. And yeah, that's another name, Tyrod Taylor.
Well, Taylor's a guy to me that if you sign him as your backup, you're not just signing a backup. I mean, I think as you watch him play and you see how he plays the game, you're not only signing a guy that can get you out of a game where your guy gets nicked, he can get you through a season and win football games if your guy was to get injured. Now, in no way, shape, or form am I saying that he's Deshaun Watson. Obviously, no fool would think that. But he is a guy that is a constant threat relative to moving the pocket. He would be a threat in the run game, in the design quarterback run game. And he protects the football. And if you play good defense, protect the football, you've got a chance to win football games. You got a good chance to win football games. So he's a guy that I was not surprised that the Texans hadn't at least flirted with him because I thought that he was going to go somewhere and be a starter. I think he's got starter qualities. But now to see him sign with a team that there's zero doubt he's a backup, it's a little bit frustrating to watch him sign on that dotted line and the Texans still in the market for a backup quarterback.
I'm going to try to float you on an idea. All literally right. Float you. Will you take a ride on my boat with me? Get a little music in the background.
You're going to change your voice and leave the cat at home.
Oh, I'll leave the cat at home. No key line pod here either. Clint Sterner, what if I told you there's a quarterback available with 103 career touchdown passes? There's a quarterback available that averages 6.3 yards a carry. That's right, Chris Cross. I'm talking about the man, the myth, the legend, the boat, Blake Bortles, as a backup for the Houston Texans, and Clint Sterner is already shaking his head. I feel like we need a record scratch right now as this boat just crashed to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean.
Hey, look, there's not much I like or enjoy less than a man speaking to me in that voice over that music on live radio.
But Blake Bortles
at quarterback for the Texans is an absolute no-go. Zero doubt. I don't want to hear about it. I knew tomorrow. Sean likes to rib me a little bit with the Bortles deal, but I think more highly of y'all's football IQ to think that that guy could come in here and be a quality backup. So I was thinking that I may get hit with that tomorrow when I'm in here with Sean. I didn't think you were going to hit me with it today, man. That hurt me.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question then. What do you want out of your backup quarterback? Because I think he does check a couple of boxes, and I know Cecil Shorts even said it yesterday. It's stuff to catch passes from the guy. Okay, you don't.
I mean, that speaks volumes right there. Let me start with that. You don't want a receiver that's played with you before to say that simply it is difficult to catch passes from you. So when we're looking for a backup quarterback, we want a guy that throws a nice catchable ball, to say the least. I've never started that conversation there, but since Cecil Shorts brought it up yesterday, Cecil Shorts the third, by the way, CS3, since he brought that up yesterday, let's add that to the list of reasons why he would not be a good backup, right? If you don't throw a catchable football, you obviously have drops. You spend a lot of your time as a backup with second and third string guys who aren't necessarily starters yet. They're not high quality guys yet. You need to throw a catchable football to those guys to get them, help them develop, help them mature as a quarterback. You need to throw a catchable football to help you develop. And at the end of the day, it's hard enough to come off the bench with no reps. It's hard enough to come off the bench with no warm-up time. It's hard enough to come off the bench with no chemistry, no timing with the guys that you're in the huddle with. Now add to the fact that you throw a difficult ball to catch. He's not a backup quarterback, my man.
Former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner, the Baytown Badass, and Paul Gallant on the triple threat. Okay, the passing thing is a big deal. I will definitely grant you that. However, I'm looking at it from this perspective. The Texans' offensive line, it is not good. And honestly, I've come to a hot take, I think, that if you're going to be a quarterback going forward in this league, you better be able to move in some way, shape, or form. Do we really want the option at backup quarterback for the Houston Texans right now, Brandon Weeden, to step into a game behind that offensive line? We saw Tom Savage behind that offensive line, and Savage is the biggest statue possibly that we've seen in the NFL left. Like, he's the last statue. And I remember back in the day, you saw quarterbacks like Drew Bledsoe actually succeed in the league. He's not to Drew Bledsoe's success degree at all. But I want a guy that can move a little bit. I want a guy that can run a little bit. And I will take, yes, a serious step back in terms of my ability to pass, assuming that my quarterback can, at the very least, run some sort of run-first offense. Because if you have a backup quarterback, you have to expect that guy, especially behind a guy like Deshaun Watson, to maybe be filling in for an extended period of time. It's not ideal to have that guy as the quarterback starting for you every single week, but I want the quarterback that I have behind that offensive line to not be getting sacked a whole lot. I want that guy also to be able to run a little bit. Is there anything about what I just told you, Clint Sterner, that has swayed your mind at all? No,
about Bortles?
About Bortles.
No, zero chance. I mean, I see panic in his eyes when he plays. I see doubt in his action when he throws. And he does all of that as a starter, making a boatload of money, being handled with kid gloves, getting all the reps, getting all the benefit of the doubt, and he struggled in those situations. And so, not to mention, we're not even talking about the struggling through the adverse times, which he had plenty. So I'm not saying that he had – I'm not saying it was all candy canes when he was there. I mean, he had some difficult times, but – we don't even need to get into that because this conversation ends with just the play. I mean, if you have all of those things, I envy guys like Brady and like Rodgers. These guys, Brett Favre was one of them, Montana obviously, all these greats. Like, we don't talk enough about the fact that they played in the same system for 8 or 10 years and they knew the offense like the back of their hand. So their off seasons consisted of nothing but whatever it took to get great chemistry and get guys caught up, get complimentary players caught up. We don't talk enough about that. And here, Blake Bortles was given the keys to the ship in that manner.
The boat, yeah.
I mean, one of very few guys, the boat, right? Listen, one of very few guys in the league that's just been given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity and could never take advantage of them. So, look, I hope the guy does well. I just don't think he's going to be a quality backup for the Houston Texans. I don't think we can try to make the 6.6 yards a carry. We can try to make that into a dual threat type guy. He's not a dual threat type guy. He doesn't fit what needs to be here with the Texans. If you're going to go that route, ink Brandon Whedon back up and just, he played well last year in the preseason. Ink him back up and live with a guy that knows the offense and needs zero
reps. You can't sell me on a backup in the preseason, Clint. I understand that he played well in the preseason, but the last time we saw him in regular season action, that was a couple of seasons ago. Like, don't they have to go at least in a different direction than Brandon Whedon?
I would like to see. Yeah, I mean, you got guys out there. I mean, I'm not opposed to, you know, I like the fact that they kept Joe Webb around last year, and he was a guy that could do some different things. Obviously, he's on the kickoff team, and he's doing different things that backup quarterbacks don't typically do. But he was definitely a safety valve for that quarterback position if anything were to happen. I don't dislike keeping him around for the reason that he can do some things, and he throws the ball better than he gets credit for. So
I've heard legends about how good he is in practice, and don't get me wrong, there's value in having a guy like that, but I also think you need to have somebody who, if Watson gets hurt, that can step in for a couple of games and do something similar to what Watson does. I'll admit, I have a hard time seeing Bortles do it, but I feel like Bortles is a better option than Whedon. That's how I'm looking at it.
I couldn't disagree more. I think when you watch Whedon throw, I mean, your knock on Whedon is, or not your, I'm going to put words in your mouth. My knock on Whedon would be he's not DW4. He's not Deshaun Watson-esque. He's not going to move the pocket. He's definitely your old style, pro style, prototypical pocket passing quarterback. And so the game changes when he's in it. But he can execute from the pocket at a high level. Whether you agree with that relative to Tom Brady and Drew Brees, now he ain't those guys, but he can execute from the pocket at a high level. My knock on him is he's not Deshaun Watson, and he's not cut from that same cloth. He's not in the mold of Deshaun Watson. So the one that's on the streets right now that I would be that I think would make sense for the Texans is RG3.
RG3.
I think RG3 is a guy that can do very. We've seen him do very, very similar things on the NFL field, not just in college. We've seen him win games with his feet. We've seen him win games with his arm. I think he's matured and developed through all his trials and tribulations over in his NFL career. He's a Texas kid. I just think there's a lot of reasons why RG3 makes sense. With the Texans. So of the list that I look at, that's the guy that makes sense to me. At least a guy that's cut from that cloth and is more Deshaun-esque.
Do you think all the things that were said about RG3, by the way, Clint Sterner, Paul Gallant, Triple Threat, Sports Radio 610, specifically about him as a teammate and how he just seemed to not be a guy that was liked when he was at Baylor, when he was in Washington? He was like a buddy boy with Dan Snyder.
Look, the NFL will chew you up and spit you out if you're not real. And if you don't have the it factor, it's okay, but it's hard to be a franchise quarterback. It's hard to be an elite quarterback in this league.
How about a backup quarterback if you don't have the it factor?
No, you don't. I mean, it helps. It clearly helps. You could be a really solid backup quarterback if you have that it factor and guys respond to you. When I watch RG3, and I believe it was – was it Hard Knocks that they were on, or was it just when he was going through? He was injured at the time, and I remember there's a video going on, and there's a girl in the weight room with him. They're videoing him doing push-ups and pull-ups, and I believe it was in season, and just that kind of stuff, just that kind of fluffy stuff. If you're not on the field, putting up numbers and helping the team win, the locker room doesn't appreciate that kind of stuff. You know, and can't respect that kind of stuff. And so when I think of RG3, I don't know. I'm not convinced that he has the it factor that it takes to go be the guy for an organization in the NFL, of 32 guys.
We definitely agree on that.
I think he has the tangible skill set to play the position at a high level. That's where I'm looking. He's very Teddy Bridgewater-esque. I mean, these guys have sick talent. I mean, they can move, and it's effortless. They can throw it, and it's effortless. All the throws on the field are effortless. They've got a small frame, so they're injury-prone. And secondly, the question is, can they lead an organization to the next level? Can they lead an organization day in, day out to the next level? Bridgewater's been banged up. And he's probably going to get another opportunity. I believe RG3 is a backup somewhere, and I think he's a quality backup in the right spot.
Because yeah, you're not asking a backup to take the organization to the next level. You're just saying, hey, is he going to come into the locker room, and are people going to buy into him, or are they going to say, oh, geez, it's RG3 doing the same stuff we've heard rumors about?
Well, you know, I think you're going to get that. I mean, look, you reap what you sow, man. I mean, that's the reputation that you've earned, and it is what it is. And so I think he personally deals with that. But when you talk about an RG3, I think you get a guy that can definitely get you out of a game where if Deshaun was to get nicked up and if Deshaun was to get hurt, then you've got a guy that's got an extremely high ceiling that has won football games and moved an organization to the next level in his recent past. So you've got a guy that has at the very least done it. So as a fan base, as a coaching staff, as an organization, it's easy. If Deshaun goes down, it's painful as ever. It hurts. Everybody, hey, lay down and bleed a while, no doubt about it. But at some point in time, you got to stand up and fight again. And if I got to stand up and fight again, and I got a guy that at the very least has done it before, I don't have to love everything about him. He's a backup quarterback. You're never going to find that. The Foles of this world are few and very, very, very few and far between, right? But I at least feel like I've got a guy that, hey, the Redskins took it to another level with him. He put up crazy numbers with the Redskins. He played at a high level, played efficiently, won football games. Why can't we do it? If I'm the coach there, that's my approach. Why can't I do it? Somebody else was able to do it with him. Now I got a guy that I've got to win with, and we take the field with a chance.
I really want to know how he was in the locker room in Baltimore last year, because that had to have been an interesting quarterback room where you have Joe Flacco, who is trying to hold on to his starting gig. You got the rookie Lamar Jackson, who's in there as well, and you have RG3. That had to have been a very interesting dynamic.
Well, you know, we had him on this show with John McClain. He's because his Baylor ties brought him on, and he was doing some charity work with John. And you know, he spoke. And again, I mean, guys can be deceptive with their tones and how they talk about. But he spoke as if when I got done with the conversation, I felt like he was 100% in Lamar Jackson's corner. 100% with okay that he was brought in to essentially back up Flacco, and then that didn't work out, and now he's backing up a rookie who struggles throwing the football. At one point in time, Lamar threw it 10 times in a game last year. So that's a tough situation for a quarterback, a veteran quarterback, that's a tough pill for him to swallow. And he clearly was handling that the right way, and a lot of times that's a sign of maturity. So I don't know other than that conversation, but it sure sounded like and appeared to be that he's – maturing as his NFL career grows and moves on. I like RG3 here with the Texans as a backup.
In conclusion, Clint Sterner, not a fan of getting on the boat like I want to get on.
I don't want to get on no boat with you, the voice you were using, your cat, your key lime pie, your bachelor watching, or Blake Bortles.
I'll get you on that boat.
No,
next,
sir.
Clint Sterner. RG3. He
Wrong
wants tree. RG3 as the backup quarterback.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.